CD, watch a DVD and TV countdown list, and a whole bunch of other shit. Everyone who leads Curtis does missions, runs cool or rude, just images and noble. Tributing nothing like a vulture, circling the corpse that is pop culture. NSFW, we don't need the trouble, you were really not the worst, but at least we're not the best.
Pop Filter Podcast, Hard Glitter Podcast, Todd Milter Hot Pan, Pop Filter Podcast.
Hello, nerds, and welcome to the Superhero Hour Hour, the only podcast in podcasting history that brings you reviews and critiques and hardcore hitting analysis about literally every single TV show that is based on a comic book. I am your host of the evening, Mike. To my right, your left, the one, the only, Ryan.
I wanted to come in with something like strong. I wanted to like come in hard, yeah. But I can't. I'm just not that kind of personality.
You want me? You want to do a take two? Like build yourself up a little?
No, because nothing's gonna happen.
Like Mike, and to my right, your left, here is Ryan.
Hello. I don't have it in me.
Bro, that's NPR strong.
Okay, good. NPR, more NPR podcasts, I say.
Yeah, I do think you are NPR aggressive.
NPR aggressive?
Yes. I was trying to think of a B, like, you can't. There's no clapping on NPR. But you're certainly more aggressive than Cherry Glazer.
And Neil Patrick Radio is what NPR stands for?
Yes. Okay. Neil Patrick Radio. He owns it. He always owned it. He built it.
And it's the only topic. Like, Oprah is on the cover of all Oprah magazines.
The subtext, I know you've heard reports of charter schools, and you've heard reports of immigration and gangs in Chicago. The subtext of every NPR story is, in fact, even the very local, is Neil Patrick Harris and his life.
Okay, but like when they involve charter schools and Chicago gangs, are the stories mostly revolving around how Neil Patrick Harris is trying to solve it,
yes,
or the cause of it? Do they mostly talk about how Neil Patrick Harris is responsible for all of the gangs in Chicago?
They're the reverse O magazine. He created a monster he cannot control because he was like, I'm just put out a lot of good buzz about Neil. And now they're just like, is Neil the cause of all gang violence? Find out at 11.
Is this because all old school gangbangers watched Doogie Howser and all new school watched Himyam?
Yes.
Or is this because he's specifically oh, you already said yes. So I don't.
But he also specifically went in and caused more fervor.
He was the Tyler Durden of Chicago gangs.
He owns 13,000 different colors of bandanas,
uh-huh,
and has just changed up what bandana he wore that day and shot another innocent person to cause gang violence.
You ever heard that story about why we like bacon so much?
No, tell me.
There was basically like farmers had too much pigs,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't know what to do with it because the government is subsidizing all these farms, so
right,
they have like a huge investment.
Just sucking on that teat.
So they said, what if we just made bacon cool and we all just bought into it?
Whoa.
Figuratively and literally. Not only did we spend all of our money on bacon, but we like would just walk around on the street going, bacon, bacon, bacon.
Bacon,
I love bacon.
I want
put
a bacon
in
magnet.
That.
I want a bacon vodka. I want a bacon candy cane.
Is bacon to the government handkerchiefs to Neil Patrick Harris?
Yes.
He didn't know what he bought. He had all of these handkerchiefs and he had to do something with them.
You know, when you tell your family, you like, most people don't like getting gifts. And so you're like, well, I like this thing. And suddenly for the next 15 years,
yes,
that's all
now
you
you're
get.
Stuck with that shit.
Do you know how many fucking mustache ice picks and toothpicks and like glassware I own now? Because I've never even said I like mustaches. I just grew one once for 6 months, 10 years ago. And now that's all I get.
Between the ages of 11 to like 17, basically, I received Ninja Turtle shit that I did not want.
My dad had to tell him, this is when I was about 10. My dad told me and my sister to stop getting him Tasmanian Devil stuff because we did it when we were like 4. And because he said once he liked Taz, and then for the next 8 years, that's all we got him. And he's like, you don't do this anymore.
But also, okay, look, I had idiotic relatives that would continue to get me Ninja Turtle shit, mm-hmm, even though I was just in that 1 6-year valley where I didn't like Ninja Turtles.
Right.
I love
right
them,
now you'd love it.
And I would go on to love them again, but just not right here. The other thing, too, though, is adults, like the Taz thing,
mm-hmm,
just want or need more stuff because
yeah,
it's so hard to buy presents for old people.
Especially when you're 10 years old.
Yeah. And all we have, like, all we can do is, like, walk to 7-Eleven and buy you stuff. So it's either a Slurpee that's going to melt and ruin the wrapping paper.
When you're sending it 3,000 miles away? Yeah.
Or some knockoff Tasmanian Devil. I believe most of the shit that you bought him was called Tasmanian Devil.
Yes.
And there was no trademarks on any of it.
In the 90s, Daz was everywhere.
Daz.
If you went
God,
to 7-Eleven. because Taz was a strictly AM/PM property.
Right. And we
all know
we couldn't afford to shop at AM/PM when we was kids.
No, and it was like 2 miles away, and tubby little Mike could not walk 2 miles.
There was no Uber to drag your fat ass all the way down the block.
I do want to talk about, as much as I'm loving this, it is a momentous weekend because we saw all of our best friends fight each other last night, Ryan.
Yes, we started a fight club. And speaking of Tyler Durden, it was pretty crazy.
After that happened, we went and saw Civil War to make up.
Hey, I don't kick the shit out of...
So
I did a lot of fighting, which means I start thoughts with A.
Every word you said last night, you just rubbed your nose twice with your thumb only.
Why is that the official speak of tough guys about to fight?
My guts turn to water every time I see somebody do that.
Hey, we about to fight. I'm going to touch my nose with my thumb.
I just assumed everybody in the 50s was doing coke, but wanted to do it slyly, and that's how they hit their nose.
You guys are all way bigger than me. You all have taken karate for decades. You should have kicked the shit out of me on the spot, but I was able to beat you because of my intimidating move of gently touching my thumb to my nose.
Well, and then we all realized, like, we had a quick whisper meeting and we're like, oh, he is ripped on cocaine. He might have a heart attack if we actually go through this.
Oh, yeah. My thumbs are always covered. Like, you know how people dip their hands in resin and then glass before a fight or however they do it?
Now I do.
I dip my hands in jelly and then cocaine. And so I'm so hopped up on sugar and coke. It's insane. And then I jump kicked you guys all to death.
Yeah, we're all dead now. I'm the only one left, which is why I'm the only one here. We were supposed to, for the first time, introduce the extended superhero hour family.
Yeah, there's going to be 17 of us here tonight.
They're all dead.
I Chun-Li'd the shit out of you guys.
Less sexy when your legs went around my head.
But you had to admit that I was rocking that outfit pretty nicely.
That was also part of the intimidation factor.
It was so weird that when I went to do the Chun-Li, all of you guys went to hit pause on a game controller because you're so used to when somebody wears that outfit,
just jerking off,
to pause it right when the butt is in frame.
What'd you think of Civil War?
It was all right.
It was all right. This is a no spoiler alert. Ryan and I will not spoil anything at all right now. So it's just all right?
So we saw it on a Thursday. This show is dropping late Friday.
Late Friday night.
So even...
You should have all seen it by now. Yeah. Let's talk about Spider-Man.
Even if you're definitely going to see it on the weekend, you might hear this before that. So yeah, let's not spoil.
No.
But I thought that it was top five Marvel movie.
Yeah, I agree with top five. I might put it in top five. Nope. It's...
Okay. You understand how discourse and conversation works, Mike, right?
I might completely agree with you right now. It's, if I didn't have time to think about every, they've had 80 movies at this point, top five, certainly better than Blade.
Yes.
Better than all the Fantastic Four movies.
We do not, those are not part of the discussion.
Better than X-Men The Last Stand.
Not part of the discussion.
Oh.
It's in the top five MCU movies.
Yes.
So take your number of 80 and take it down to like 17 or 18.
There's still a lot.
Yeah, there's still a lot.
There's so many times I almost cried last night, not even when cool things were happening, just when they were in a room together. And the only reason I want time travel is just to go, buddy, you have no idea how cool. There was a point where I think you laughed or also held back a sob because I could not stop myself from very loud in the theater going, fuck, just because they panned down the row of faces.
I will say this, no spoilers involved, because everybody has seen the quote unquote big battle,
the airport battle.
As much as you've seen in the trailers, if you have not seen it yet, it is.
You ain't seen shit.
Yeah, it is spectacular.
But it was that moment when they panned down the line of Team Iron Man and it just panned Spider-Man standing next to Iron Man. I couldn't hold back, even though there were 7-year-olds all around me from just screaming fuck. Pure excitement.
The reason I still think that movie people aren't exactly sure why Captain America is the greatest. Movies, I don't think, have done him the service that comic books have done.
Right.
But you can see it right in that scene because everybody, all both sides, like his allies and his opponents, look at him to see what to do. And then he starts walking forward and then they walk and then he starts sprinting at them and then they all sprint.
They all sprint.
Because it's whatever Captain America is doing, we should be doing.
As if we're sitting politely at a turkey dinner, like most of the movie actually is, spoiler.
Yeah. A lot of Thanksgiving
scenes. It's an extended
scenes.
Thanksgiving. That's what they'll do. And if he turns into a drunk uncle for a while, then they'll all do that. But it got weird. It almost was like, you know that dance move where it looks like five people and then you turn around, you realize it's one person with four people on a stick?
Right.
It was a lot of that.
Which character do you think brought the best cornucopia to the meal?
Oh, I definitely think it was Vision.
Vision, yeah.
He so badly wants approval and wants to be a human. So his I love all of Vision's deal, and I can no longer remember what was in trailers or not. So without giving anything away, I love Vision's attempt to be human by bringing gross amounts of cornucopias.
He, like, every piece inside the cornucopia, every squash, he made a little fake infinity gem and placed it on, mm-hmm. like, the quote-unquote head of the vegetable. That's fucking adorable.
And made some interesting choices of where the head of, like, a rutabaga was.
Yeah, I did not know. I thought it was the exact opposite.
First time I ever saw a rutabaga. And it's just a word I know.
When I saw that it was the opposite, that, like, he thought differently than me, I started thinking of, like, what are robot racial slurs? I wanted to scream at him, but then I just accepted that people think differently about where the head of a rutabaga is.
I guess we're all a little different. We're all a little the same. It's robot. That's the one I know off the top of my head.
That's the racial slur?
If you just go, you robot. Yeah. It's if you don't have the big O in the back, you're a little racist. You might be a robot racist if... Any final words in Civil War without giving... It's hard not to talk about anything without giving anything away.
It's also hard to talk, like, promote a movie that needs none of us.
Very little promotion.
I recently saw the movie The Invitation.
Okay, tell me about that. What is that?
It's a movie that, like, maybe you haven't heard of.
No, what is that?
It's a movie. Go see that and also Civil War. They're both good. You don't need us to say... See Civil War. Just go see it. You're going to do it anyway. It's better than Batman versus Superman. How about that?
How
final
much
word?
Does the best Spider-Man ever hold Captain America's shield in The Invitation?
Well,
once?
We're not exactly sure whether or not he's the best Spider-Man.
Okay.
We reviewed the Spider-Man TV show on this podcast. I think that might be my guy.
Oh, the ultimate Spider-Man and Friends, or with Nova and all them?
Like, no. Tiger? The live action 70s show. That's my Spider-Man.
You're so old.
The guy who wore the brown slacks that were 9 feet long, that's my guy.
Well, he's just got killer slacks.
He does have killer slacks.
Let's get to the issues. Issue the first, Ryan.
What?
Supergirl has some budgetary issues. Right now they're at $3 million an episode. And the ratings don't just justify that cost. Possible solutions are moving shooting to Vancouver, where its cousins play, its cousins being the Flash and Arrow, or moving it to the CW entirely.
Okay, there's so many things that are confusing to me about this. One, how did we not see this coming?
Mm-hmm.
CBS is a very low-budge hit producer. They rake in the money, and they're not going to be like HBO that says, like, some of our cheaper, more successful shows will pay for our other shows. They're like, you pay your own way.
You don't think they should just, like, use some of the Big Bang Theory money and just pay for Supergirl?
I think that makes stockholders mad.
That's stupid.
They have Stockholm syndrome. They can't think outside.
The,
like,
profit.
Everything makes profit. There's no loss leader. Like, back in the original days of TV, news cost each network, like, hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was paid for with the other shit. And now
news cost?
Yeah. And now news has to pay for itself.
Was it because they had to pay so many people to create news?
Well,
they had to wag that dog.
It just made literally it lost every network money. But they said this is our obligation to the people. Right. And now
the minute they threw that away, they're like, wait, we can only make money.
I heard somebody the other day on a podcast of whose name I do not remember.
Well, yeah, we're not going to pimp out other podcasts.
Say that
we
this
forgot
was,
quote unquote everybody's name.
We say, like, on half of the shows in the intro, we're literally the only podcast that exists. We don't even believe that other podcasts exist.
I think we invented podcast.
But it said that 60 Minutes ruined news because they went for these, like, flashy tabloid-like stories. And now you couldn't just talk about, like, a UN meeting.
Can you imagine a world, where 60 Minutes is the flashy news?
I know.
And in my head, I was thinking 2020, different shows. There were two shows I inexplicably watched as a 7-year-old.
60 Minutes in 2020?
Yeah. I watched the shit out of those. I did not have cable growing up until about 16.
Then turn the fucking TV off, dude.
No, I couldn't.
Read a book.
I did in between
Go
commercials.
Go fly a kite.
I did. Also in between commercials. I read books on the toilet.
We haven't told everyone that you guys were so poor you didn't have a roof. You could fly a kite in your living room while right. watching TV.
Well, it's like, you know, those fishermen who quote unquote love fishing. And I swear that might be the last time I say quote unquote tonight. But they hang their fishing pole just off the dock and then walk away to go drink and ignore their son. That's what we did with kites. It was fun.
It was fun.
Do you want to see a cheaper Supergirl on CBS or just move it entirely to CW? Because
that's a cheaper Supergirl, though.
That is a cheaper Supergirl, but I think there's cheap Supergirl on CBS or there's cheap Supergirl on CW at that point, fully allowed to always play with Arrow and Flash.
That would be cool.
Just fully bring her into that world then.
Supergirl would lose a lot of her budget, probably more than half, but she would have Arrow and Flash's budget.
Right.
And they seem to be doing okay.
They're doing fine. And that's the shit you and I hate the most.
We're going to talk about a little bit how budgets work and how it's not every episode costs the same amount.
Yes.
But sometimes you'll spend a little on one episode to spend a lot on another. If Supergirl spent a lot on some and a little on others, I bet you $10 fucking, $10 American cashish, Mike.
That's a little high rolling for my blood.
$7.
There we go. Now we're speaking, Mike.
The best episodes of CW Supergirl will be the low budget ones.
Imagine an episode where Wynn is moving into a new apartment and 40 minutes. So only 2 minutes are her being Supergirl. 40 minutes are her and him stuck in a stairwell and he's just screaming pivot at her.
Okay. Is that also the episode where one of them opens a bar in Boston and then Supergirl comes in to get like a waitress job?
Yeah.
And then they sort of fall in love?
They sort of fall in love. And it's also where they come up with a show about Supergirl and everything they do all the time. But if she didn't really Supergirl it out.
And then finally they get married. And every time Wynn walks into the apartment, he almost or sometimes or totally does trip on the ottoman.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great show.
I think so. Issue the second. Reports came out that Agent Carter's return is highly unlikely, not that newsy, and that excitement about Marvel's Most Wanted has, quote unquote, damn it, cooled off.
You should drink or something. You should get a punch in the arm. You sit. Why would you say that it's going to be the only time when you knew for a fact you were going to say it again?
It was the one time I knew I was going to say it tonight, and I blew my load. I was just so excited to say, quote unquote, I said it a bunch. But I'm quoting here, excitement has cooled off. For Marvel's Most Wanted.
This, I would say, is one of the most bittersweet issues that we've ever had. Because on one hand, we get one fewer show to watch and potentially Hunter and Bobby back on S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's true. Yeah, if they fuck up, they're like, never mind, guys, we're here again. Or do they just leave?
Like, no, they will definitely come back.
You think they just bring them back into the fold?
I think so.
Yeah, you can't not. If you can bring people back from the dead, you can fucking bring people back under your team you said they can never be on.
And maybe they'll make one of those really lame jokes, but it will just be one-liner of how ABC sucks. And then now they're just back on the show, and the show is back to great.
Hunter's just like, I guess nobody most wanted us.
Something along those lines. Probably better than that, but still dumb.
I don't know. Have you seen S.H.I.E.L.D.? They're not known for their quips.
But the bitter part of this bittersweet is no spoilers?
No spoilers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no spoilers. All right. Issue the third.
I would be very sad to see Agent Carter go.
Right. Kevin Smith will be back to direct The Flash next season. His Scarlet Speedster directorial debut is next week. So they hired him again, even though we haven't even seen his results yet.
Well, they have.
They have, and I guess they loved it. Jason Mewes shows up in two roles next week.
As both Jay and Silent J?
As Jay and Muse. He's a masked...
Wait, does Kevin Smith only keep putting him in things because his last name is Muse and he thinks that he needs one?
He needs a Muse? Probably that, and also I think it's mostly to keep him off of heroin.
Yeah.
He tried to like have separate lives, and that's when Jay went right back onto heroin. And so now there's this weird guilt complex.
Did we ever tell the audience that we saw Kevin Smith speak at the same time, totally separate from each other?
No.
Is that a thing or am I making that up?
Tell me that story.
Okay. Maybe I'm making that up. I saw Kevin Smith speak with someone that isn't you then. Have you ever seen him do his Comic-Con thing?
I used to own all the DVDs of it.
Oh, shit. What a fucking bummer life.
Who are you explaining right now? If this is Justin, I'm fucking furious for confusing me and Justin. My arch nemesis that's never been brought up on this show.
He brought Jason Mewes out, and he basically more or less said, if I don't keep bringing him out. And no, he likes the applause. Like, the crowd went wild when he brought him out. But, like, he will just start doing drugs constantly.
Right.
That guy is a drug vacuum, and Kevin Smith has taken it upon himself. And that's, like, that's pretty cool of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
To, like, he is his dare to keep kids off drugs.
I mean, it's probably a responsibility. He doesn't eat. I'm sure his Kevin Smith's wife and kid don't always love the fact that his 100% of the time job now is to take care of Jason Mewes.
Well, I mean, they're so busy being very untalented in other movies that would they find the time to take care of him?
And it is what launched. I do think Kevin Smith has.
Did you just AO me?
AO.
Oh, God. This is going to be a long fucking show.
He has his own hypothetical because they don't exist podcasting network. And I do think it was Jay and Silent Bob Get Old or whatever. And it was just Jay's story of getting back into drugs. And that launched that whole podcast network.
Just to give him a job.
I think so. I think everything Kevin Smith does now is just to service Jason Mewes not being on drugs, which is admirable. And you know what? Someday I'll do that for you, buddy.
I wish that day was sooner than later. Like, it's got to happen soon.
I still want to wring out the snoochie boochies out of you.
It's hard to comment on this story because it's not next week yet. And I...
Do you want me to move on?
No. I am, though, excited to next week talk about what differences we saw in this episode of Flash and all other episodes of Flash.
I would love that. Can't wait for it. Issue the fourth. Lord of the Legends of Tomorrow is casting two roles, Ryan. A male in his late 20s to mid-30s to play a Han Solo-like guy who grew up in the shadow of World War II hero grandfather. And a female member of an elite paramilitary group in the 1940s. And she's going to be African-American. It says here, scrutinized in her time for both her gender and her race, and thus has worked twice as hard to be a perfect soldier.
Well, if you're going to be scrutinized for being black and female in 2016, I can't imagine what the 40s would have been like for you.
Oh, probably cake.
So it's gotten a lot worse since then.
Yeah, things have only gotten worse.
Am I supposed to have a guess? Like, I have no idea who those two are.
The internet is aflame with who the fuck does that I don't know for both of them.
Typically the internet is very confident in their guesses.
They're like, it's these three things, and no, the internet for both of them is like, oh, at this point everybody's described as Han Solo like
that's true.
And the other one, they're like, I don't think that's a... It'd be cool if they were changing a character, because with a character from the 1940s from DC, nobody knows. Is it a Black Hawk? Probably. Those were...
Oh, Black Hawk. Okay. Or I was thinking that Sergeant Rock guy.
Yeah, Sergeant Rock and the Blackhawks. My favorite punk band from the 70s. But that nobody really cares, so fuck with them as much as you can to make a better, more modern show.
Yeah. That sounds great. And also, whatever the characters that they're going to adapt into TV, whatever their traits were, we probably don't need them now, especially physical. So it would be awesome if this was two people who aren't those two things.
Yeah.
But is this for this season?
No, for next season.
Okay. Do we know yet if this is an anthology or not?
We do not. And I hope that means either a couple people are leaving from our cast, and there's a few that I would love to watch leave.
Yeah.
Or in a completely new team, which would be best.
I don't know how to roll the... I think that I would roll the dice as much as I love...
Snart.
Yeah, I think it's just Snart.
I want season
two. Do it all over again.
If Snart was the Screech... So in the new class, everybody goes away except for him. And then he needs a mission. He's like, guys, I need a team. I've never tried this before. It's hard. He has such a distinct way of speaking.
Your way of doing it is like if someone in an 80s commercial just took a drink of 7-Up. refreshing.
I think that's what he does before every line. He takes a sip of a 1980s 7-Up.
It's crisp. I don't know what that means for a drink, but I know that this is crisp.
Who knows if that's good or bad, but it's crisp. What were the issues brought to you by, Ryan?
Tonight, the issues were brought to you by Tyler Granola's Tyler Bars, a bar shaped like a dude that you've never heard of and certainly don't care about.
When we come back, we will be talking about Fear the Walking Dead. This week on Fear the Walking Dead, Nick's off the floating reservation on a secret mission as he covers himself in blood and swaggers like a walker to find Luis, a figure from Strand's past. In flashbacks, we see a post-Katrina Strand drink, befriend, and rob and then start dating a wealthy real estate tycoon, Thomas Abigail, where our cruise boat gained its name. Meanwhile, back on the Abigail, Alicia's mistakes have come home to roost as Kip, Jack, and a pregnant girl take over the boat for a man named Connor. Ryan, man, I ask you this. Did the introduction of the show's first big bad kick up your excitement, or did part of you wish Nick was leaving just to get away from his boring family and friends and would follow him bloody and stumbling through the desert exploring this new world?
Connor definitely fits the Walking Dead MO of we're like, this is going to be a real big bad, and it is not.
One, his name is Connor. You're never ever scared of a Connor. Two, with the amount of the characters, his henchmen were just like, Connor's coming.
By the way, Connor is a 5'4" guy who looks like Russell Crowe and Benicio Del Toro slammed into each other and shrunk a lot.
And should be on a beach, not even Hawaii. What's like a cheaper island? Like Catalina on the sand drinking a shitty Mai Tai, just staring at the beach with a puka necklace on. He is not intimidating. And even his henchman, once he showed up, was like, yeah, I guess he's smart. I don't know why I follow him.
I hope that next episode has a sort of flashback where we get to see that crew before they hit the Abigail.
Uh-huh.
And he's just clearly the Ricky Gervais of the group. Like, they all sort of barely put up with him, but he dances real weird.
He just got there first. He just first said he was the leader.
Yeah.
It was sort of insulting and un-PC.
And everybody else is 19, so they're like,
That's true. He is 45, and they are all children, which is why the quote-unquote, fuck!
Dude, you're a real asshole tonight. You know that? You're a lying piece of shit. No, drink your penalty.
Talk for a second then.
Okay. They really do a bunch of good stuff as far as like building things up, but they do not deliver. And I already feel this way about Negan. Like, I'm already disappointed.
Right.
And the governor was a shitstorm of garbage.
Yes. So Connor, not going to be anything great.
No.
And it is, I do think you can judge a man by his henchmen. And his henchmen were so whiny. That's what I was going to say before I said the phrase that shall not be named. The baddest of the bad of the three that took over the boat was such a whiner. And I think it's just because if you are under 35, you're never going to be cool or tough. Because any like sort of philosophical, like, well, this is what the new world's like, or like cruel thing he said, it was just like, well, guys, why won't you listen to me? Look at my shotgun. That's what it came out as.
And we live in a post-Joffrey world that even Game of Thrones is having a problem figuring out. It's really hard to make that hateable, but I love to hate him character. And Walking Dead is terrible at it.
It's terrible. Hate them or you love them and go, they should just be the star of the show. The Walking Dead, the guy that had like very Neganism mannerisms that got blown up by a rocket launcher.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
And I was like, I want you to be the star of the show. Kill everybody we've been following for 6 years, and now you're the star because you have a personality. And that was not this kid. And Connor didn't do enough. He out-polited Damian Dark, but with none of the menace.
And you know how long it took me to come around on Damian Dark.
Right.
And then I felt terrible because Damian Dark is great. There's no reason to think that Connor will become, based on, again, two scenes.
Right.
Maybe we're not being fair, but there's no reason to think that based on these two scenes and what Walking Dead has brought to us in the past, that this guy will become a Damian Dark, much less the championed guy from that one scene of Walking Dead that one time.
Strand is still a better, bigger bad.
Yes.
And we have issues with Strand.
Yes.
They tried to... This is the first time Fear the Walking Dead has done flashbacks. And has Walking Dead, I guess they did in their experimental season, in the beginning of this season, they did like some flashbacky shit. But they've never done like, look at this person's normal life. Did they?
I'm very surprised that the Lost strategy, the show The Lost.
Right.
The show Lost.
No, I like, okay, Grandmom. Do you watch The Lost?
Have you seen The Lost? Have you seen it?
I like it because Jack's such a handsome boy.
That strategy hasn't taken on. And like, I know it sounds like that we're just going to, like, these shows are just going to be copying Lost for a while, but we were all copying The Office for a while. And now we don't give a shit that Modern Family and Parks and Rec, for no reason, copy The Lost.
Yeah.
Copy The Office.
When the smoke monster came in and ripped Luke's face off. It was weird.
I made
fine. One
verbal mistake ever
you
in the history
idiot.
Of this podcast. And now I have to, like, be crucified. Now there's blood coming out of my hands.
And your ribs and your feet. And you're wearing weird, dirty underwear.
It's just because I want to be like Spider-Man, but I don't want to copy his exact thing. So instead of having webs come out of my hands, I was trying to do blood.
But that
makes me so, like, it's so hard to keep shooting blood at you.
Stop jumping off of roofs and spewing blood in the air.
It does not affect you at all.
I just vomit.
Yeah, you just barf, but like it doesn't stop you from like doing crime.
Because then I barf and then you barf.
Right.
It's not even because it's not like I'm barfing, so you run up and kick me in the face. That would almost be worth it.
But it does prove that Jesus is the original Spider-Man once and for all. The debate can be over.
Something you've said forever.
I really, really like the Lost strategy of storytelling in a situation like this. And this basically is Lost, right? Like, we're on a world that's magic and sci-fi and
don't know why.
And we have a bunch of cardboard characters. And if we don't get these other scenes, then we will forever not like them or give a shit about them. And this is such an easy way to do it. Have a, like, say thanks Lost in the credits, in the end credits or something.
Sure.
But I would do this with one character from here on out. The Strand story started boring, and now I am fully back on board with Strand because of how this episode worked.
Do you think they realized they had a Strand problem, and so that's why they did it for him?
Maybe, but Strand was not.
Strand was not one of the biggest issues.
Strand was losing steam.
But do you want to see Chris?
I don't know if I want a Chris episode, but they could. It's potentially possible. I have to stop saying peas like that. I understand. It's potentially possible that we now care about Chris after one solid, super good episode of Fear the Walking Dead that flashes back with Chris.
Maybe.
It's possible.
Can we talk about Strand's flashbacks? It was, when was Katrina? 2003, 2004?
Mm-hmm.
So it flashed back to then. So a good amount of time, even though his only difference is slightly more hair.
Back when he was gay and he got over it.
That's what I was going to talk about. They wanted to build him out, but we really just saw him stealing from people and flirting and then ending up with this businessman. Is gay just the easy hack now instead of really building out a character that you're like, well, they're gay. So now they're a three-dimensional character.
It might be. I think that this didn't feel organic. It didn't feel built up. It's hard to say because I think that this could give possibly more dimension to Strand in the future.
Right.
But for this episode,
It did not. It is. I love gay characters who that is not their whole personality.
Sure. More like Aaron from The Walking Dead.
Max from Happy Endings. There's Max from Happy Endings.
Or Superman from Batman versus Superman.
Or Derek from Happy Endings. For most of television history, we've gotten Derek from Happy Endings. That is your Jack from Will and Grace. Versus Will, even. Will is a normal character, and he is gay. There should be more of that. But when you just stop there, that's not enough.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Like, why? Pretend that you're in the writer's room for Fear of the Walking Dead. What is the reason for doing this?
I think they thought of an interracial gay kiss, blew their load, and went, and we don't really got to worry about it from now on.
So we're never going to win Emmys. So
we're good.
We're going to win GLAAD awards.
Yeah. Or just like either you're blowing conservatives' mind who love the zombie killing show and maybe, and hopefully sincerely, like opening the, like, well, I thought he was the badass. Can the badass be gay? Yeah, Loki is a badass. So, and just go from there, or...
And Loki is very gay.
Yeah, that's what I meant by that.
Okay.
Or go from, they were just like, people can shut up, because what, they're gonna hate on the gay character?
And it's all, I think that it's all ruined by things like shooting them holding hands, like it was this tremendous M. Night Shyamalan, like, reveal.
Orchestra hits
behind
that and then behind the kiss. And that's when I was like, oh, no, come on. You guys are making this. I don't like... This seems exploitive at this point. Like,
right.
Let them just be in love and do their thing and not make it weird.
Or if we could, like, look back now at the, I don't know, 7 episodes, because Strand came in late in season 1.
Yeah.
So the 7 episodes of Strand that we've had, and sort of see how being gay or trying to hide his gayness or trying to come out of the closet or something had been some sort of motivation, but it's not. It's very clearly thrown in
right
to now make this character who wasn't doing enough give him another dimension, and it doesn't work.
But there's so many other characters. I would love to see Daniel's flashback scenes, because mostly because we know his badass, crazy El Salvadorian hitman past. But those are not the characters we need to worry about. Once this show like hits its groove and they can actually deal with zombies, and that is in The Walking Dead, zombies have become so who cares because they've dealt with them forever. This is the group where you should just be throwing zombies at them all of the time to like force them to get used to this world, because so far only Nick is getting used to it.
The one thing that the flashbacks did, though, is create this like dichotomy of obligation. I don't even want to know if, or I don't even want to say versus, but obligation and sort of like exploitation, right? So, or opportunist, obligation versus opportunism. And what are the differences between those two words? And that definitely filled out the Strand character in a way that I liked more than just throwing the gay stuff in there.
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah. That life views are important, and all these characters could really deal with like a college dorm level conversation about philosophy and how you look at life to go from there. Because Strand, I guess they felt he needed that to make him, I guess they were humanizing him. I don't know. But Nick is the only one who I understand sort of where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And everybody else is a dumb with their dumb dicks in their hands.
I think that the key is to set up morals and values that are different than everyone else, and then have them stick to them. And then when they don't stick to them, it's because of a very serious thing that happened, as opposed to lazy writing.
And when the whole world moves against you, you say, no, you move.
Right.
Ryan, we are out of time.
That can't be true.
It's unfortunately. What was that segment brought to you by?
That segment was brought to you by Team Heinlein, a division of Team Heinlein. Kelly, smaller. Kelly, better. Team Heinlein.
When we come back, it's to talk about every other show that came out this week. It's time for the back pages, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Coming in at number 8 this week, The Flash.
Maybe The Flash shouldn't not be The Flash anymore. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Barry brings back his bio dad since his real dad and his science dad aren't enough dad to give him advice about whether or not he should risk his life to become The Flash again. Wells is pushing for him to flash up. Henry's against the idea, even though it's obvious Zoom will rule the world without Barry to oppose him. And Joe thinks Barry should, I don't know, do what Barry thinks is right because he's his real father. Ryan, how interested are you in two junior speedsters having to live in Barry's shadow?
If they go straight to Legends of Tomorrow Season 2, then I think it'll be cool.
Oh, that would be cool.
We don't have time for this in this show.
No, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
How much do you hate... I don't know where you stood with Henry Allen before this episode. I kind of hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at currently?
He's fine, and Joe in this episode is fine, and I don't like a fine Joe. I like a fine Joe, which is usually what the show gives me, and then I also like a fine Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
I know that...
A good 2013 Kavanaugh.
We're full believers in the fact that episode 1, 2, and 3 can't ruin 4, 5, and 6. But this episode was so fucking dumb and ham-fisted that it's almost undoing all of the three dads' work of season 1.
Yeah.
It was like they all ran into the same room, slowly, because they're not speedsters, and said, like, I'm a dad for this, and I'm a dad for this, and I'm a dad for this, and like, dude, show, you're fucking shit up.
And they... I hate Henry Allen because he...
chops wood better than you, you jealous bastard.
I do hate that. I wish I could chop wood. It made sense for him to be barely around in the first season. And this season, for him to be like, hey, I'm out of jail. Bye. Like, I know you've wanted me around your whole life, son. I'm out of here. Maybe you did kill Nora, even though we know who did. You're such a bad father. And for him to come swing his dick in front of Joe's and Wells' face today, you've done nothing. And all his advice is, be a little bitch. And no counter argument, just be like, yeah, no, I know the world will be destroyed if you don't do this. Don't do this. That makes zero sense.
I also, I get why a lot of aging, quote unquote, I'm allowed to say that, right?
Yeah.
Actresses have to get a ton of plastic surgery because the Hollywood sucks and like they won't get jobs unless they look like they're 19 forever. Why does this actor get so much plastic surgery? He was in a show in 1990.
Called The Flash,
and then a Flash now. What was happening in the meantime? Or he just kept piling on the plastic surgery?
I don't want to answer this question.
Okay.
I mean, probably just a lot of like body dysmorphia issues and.
Oh, so he's mentally challenged?
No, I don't think that's mentally not challenged. That. That's still something we can make fun of, right?
Body dysmorphia?
Yeah.
I think so.
You're super thin, you think you're fat? Fuck you, idiot.
You think that you're roughly 250 pounds. You're
yes.
actually 190 pounds. I try to make you think that you're 300 pounds all the time. I think it's funny.
That's what a real friend does.
Yes.
And that's, we should make fun of, we should call this actor up and tell him how old he is.
Also, when is your first plastic surgery scheduled? Because I'm saving up money for your plastic surgery, you ugly fuck.
That's okay, so it's not to keep me young. It's to beautify this face.
Yes.
It's to Eric Stoltz me.
Yes.
Take me from the mask to Eric Stoltz.
I want to take you from the ginger mask that you look like now and turn you into the green face Jim Carrey mask.
Yeah, is there that kind of plastic surgery where you can just cartoonify yourself?
I think so.
So Zoom is barely a threat just because he's only a threat in name only. We're told he's a threat, so he is. Because
in name only. His name is Zoom. Well, how threatening is that?
But also, he is, the minute it's Jay or...
Oh, nobody cares.
Werner Herzog. What's the name they call him? Hortzon Zognog?
Yep. My since favorite we, alien since, Christmas milk
since
drink.
He came out as Hortzon Zognog. He is... His voice is so whiny.
Yeah.
That... If he doesn't have the mask on, he's not scary, and that we've seen who his face is. Even Caitlin, who is scared for her life, goes, just take the mask off, buddy.
The CW is, like, the year of CW relied on the fact that they stopped hiring CW actors.
Right.
Guys like Tom Cavanaugh and Jane the Virgin, like, and...
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Rachel...
Bloom.
Bloom, who plays Rebecca...
Bunch.
These are not CW actors. And then when it's time to cast a bad guy, they just went right back to the well.
But he was a CW actor 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Now who's being harsh, quote unquote?
I'll be a hero all night, folks.
You'll be a hero all night?
I'll be a hero all night, folks.
Just this one night.
Should we move on?
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. On.
The number 7 show of the week is Daredevil. Ninjas come out of the woodwork to hunt Elektra and Matt, and Stick comes to the rescue. We find out he's her mysterious boss, and he always has been, even when her and Matt first met. Also, Karen sees Elektra in Matt's bed, Stick eating an apple, and gets the hell out of that kinky shit. Ryan, man, how pumped are you that Wilson Fisk and Frank Castle will be working together soon?
I'm very pumped, because maybe we'll be spending a little bit more screen time around Frank Castle and a little bit less around Elektra. This is a... half a good season, half a bad season so far.
And it's divided by which ally adversary?
Yes.
Axis? Is that what that word Axis means?
Stick certainly frenemy. Did not save the Elektra storyline.
And was it last week or a couple weeks ago? We're like, so when's Stick going to come in to save this?
Yes.
Not
it
knowing
was literally
that
last week.
Actually going to come.
Because we watch it episode by episode.
We watch it. Everybody
yeah,
knows
like,
that.
Okay.
We had zero idea. I've fucking avoided so hard. My jaw hit the floor. I knew the minute he was walking through the prison and they're like, oh, you gotta see somebody. I was like, it's not Fisk though, is it? And was so surprised. But I was also surprised Stick shows up because I was like, nah, they're not gonna do the same thing again.
I like how I can tell Stick is tough because he eats like 7 apples in this episode, refuses to just take a bite out of an apple. You always have to use a knife, you moron.
If you use a dangerous looking knife to cut tiny edible pieces off your apple, that's how you know you're tough.
That's so fucking dumb.
He's old. He doesn't want to choke on that apple.
He's blind.
He doesn't want to choke on that apple. How do blind people find bathrooms in public restrooms? And like in public,
they're
places,
in the restroom.
In public places.
Oh, public places. There's Braille on every men's sign and women's sign.
So they just, I mean, I gotta pee, and you just feel the wall the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a public restroom this week, and a guy brought a dog in, and it was adorable, and I did not pet it because I know you're not supposed to. And there were flyers for a party on every single bathroom stall, and he sat there grabbing it, like staring at it for a while, because I think he was not full blind. And then he went, "Hey, is this an out of order sign?" I was like, no, that's for a party. He's like, oh, cool, thanks. And then he went to the bathroom. And I wondered for the rest of the week, obviously, since I'm bringing it up on the show, how did he even find the bathroom? Does that dog know where the bathroom is?
You could have helped him all the way to the bathroom.
He was in the bathroom. He was in the handicap stall.
Well, then point him towards the toilet. I'm surprised that you...
I thought the dog did.
I'm surprised that you didn't say, no, this. It's a sign that says, you're at the toilet right now, start peeing. Just watch him go.
Bring out that blind dick. So do you think this, because it has been a topsy-turvy all over the place season, do you think Fisk...
I disagree.
Not all over the place.
It's has never been Topsy. It's only been Turvy. Is Turvy the bad one? It's been bad.
I think so. But you love Castle.
I do.
So it can have all been bad.
But all the Castle scenes have Foggy in them.
And even improved Foggy is Foggy.
Yes. There's like a medieval mansion in London.
Oh! You wanted more of that, right? The board came down and said, Ryan wants more O's.
Do you even know what I was about to say?
No.
But why did you O?
Because it's so foggy here.
Because it's a foggy castle.
Yeah.
Oh! Don't ever O me again. You fucking axe-wearing, monster-drinking piece of shit.
You sound like my girlfriend saying I O too early. You're supposed to O there.
I never owe you.
I thought I was alley-ooping you to the O. Number six show of the week, Ryan, is Winona Earp.
On this week's Winona Earp, we get a chance to see just how corrupt Purgatory is.
Oh!
I will quote-unquote kick your dick off. And we get some incredibly sexy, sexy times.
Mm.
Now, Mike, this show, which I hold much more dear in my heart than I should after five episodes of fucking anything, has two scenes that are spectacular. One, Doc Holliday fucks Winona Earp.
What?
Actually, no. Let me reverse that because of the titular character. Winona Earp fucks Doc Holliday.
There we go. You should never fuck or be fucked by your best friend's great-great-granddaughter. Rule of thumb, right?
Which is what I was getting to. Would you have sex with my great-great-great-great-granddaughter?
In a heartbeat. Do we look the same age?
Yes.
Yeah.
You both look 200.
I'm a weird revenant.
Uh-huh.
And she also looks 200.
He is not a revenant, and he gets a little pissed off if you say that.
He's just lost a plastic surgery that worked?
Yes.
What is his deal if he's not a revenant?
He went the opposite route of Hank Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He got good plastic surgery.
He's like,
surgery.
No, give me the good stuff.
Yeah.
Most people don't know, if you sit down in that chair, you can say, hey, give me the good stuff, and you won't look like a weird fucking alien from Mars Attacks.
$5 extra. That is all it costs.
$5. Or bring in a $5 footlong from Subway.
In another scene, there's somebody who's like really running Purgatory,
mm-hmm.
and she is pissed, and she knows what she likes, and what she likes is Bobo, the name of the big bad, on the ground as she stabs her high heel, her, what do you call the actual like stabby part?
Heel.
Into his chest,
uh-huh.
and then makes him suck his blood off the heel.
Oh, like stabs, not just like jabs.
No, stabs. And then he has to basically go down on her shoe.
I'm into so much of what you said, except the part where I'm stabbed through the chest.
But I don't think you are not into that. I just don't think that you fully come, self-actualized into your sex.
Are my lungs and hearts okay?
Yeah, no, and you're immortal and you're revenant and you're fine.
Okay.
So it's basically like she stabbed you in the butt. Like a butt cheek. Took some butt blood. Shit.
Uh-huh. Took some butt blood.
And then you have to like perform fellatio on the heel of her shoe. This show is getting kinky.
Hot. Yeah, this is 50 Shades of Winona. So says my book club that's mostly middle-aged ladies. So people should check it out, or only if, is it like, is it gratuitously and needlessly kinky, or does it build into the show?
Certainly not needlessly. It's needfully kinky.
Needfully gratuitous?
It's so weird and crazy. And in the meantime, you have all these cute one-liners and like flirty, like all of that like flirty stuff is still there between Winona and her sister, Winona and Dolls, Winona and Doc, like it's all there. And then sometimes shit gets fucking fucked up.
I feel literature has been like that since it was the Bible, and so why TV should have that more, where it's like most of the time a show, and then every once in a while some great sex happens.
I will tell you this, and this is not just because of high heel sex, although you're gonna take it like this and you're probably right. I think that Daredevil is very much inching towards the bottom tier and Winona Earp is inching towards the middle,
because Daredevil needs some more high heel sex.
Yes. That is clearly what I meant.
That rough Daredevil sex scene, quote unquote, fuck rough, was so tame. I've turned into a pull string doll, and unfortunately one of my pull quotes is quote unquote. I went to a hosting seminar by the board paid for it. They really urged me to go, and I mostly took away. I wrote one note and it was quote unquote. So I'm trying to prove my worth in their class money.
Did you put it on your note unnote?
I put it on my note and note. Ryan?
Yeah.
Number five show of the week is Legends of Tomorrow, and it's a twofer. Because we couldn't cover it last week. we got a giant versus giant battle last week, and this week it's a bottle episode as the crew has Savage and his brainwashed Carter locked up, makes dumb decisions about both. Jack gets hit by temporal radiation, making him super old, so Martin drugs him and sends him back to 2016 on the jump ship, thwarting Mick and Snart's plan to get the hell out of the doomed vessel. Ryan, given last week's episode and this week's episode, where they should have killed Savage and then they should have killed Savage, but they all decided as a group to vote and not, do the crew's mistakes prove that democracy is doomed for a team like this?
I'm starting to think that democracy is not a good way to run a country, much less a tiny little team.
Let's talk about that for a while.
I think that this show has one glaring problem that won't launch it into one of the best shows that we watch, but it would become at least mediocre. And that's Kendra. And all the things that they're trying to do with Kendra are awful. It's really crippling.
And she is the focal point of the show.
Right. The whole show sort of revolves around her. And we thought it was weird back in the day when the show first started that she was constantly being benched. But when she's not benched, she does stupid stuff anyway.
Yeah. When they don't bench her, they don't know what to do with her and don't let her make good decisions.
Rip Hunter's family was enough of a motivation to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And then Snart and like his sister and all this shit that they're trying to protect. Right. Old man's wife. What's his name?
Martin. Stein.
That's enough. But the whole Hawkman shit, just like the comic books, is not fucking working.
No. And we've blissfully been Carterless most of the season, and they brought him back this week's episode, but he was this like stone-faced, doesn't know he's Carter version. He's brainwashed, which is why they can't kill
him though. Just kill him
because he'll come back. And that she was doing that. I don't know why one of them don't grab, you know, the old don't hit yourself trick. Grab her with the magical mace and smash them in the head. This force, they're all stronger than she is. They should overpower her to kill everybody involved.
Yeah, I think that a lot of these shows are dealing with between the Punisher and between the guys on the Abigail and like who we should like just destroy and who should we should listen to.
Right.
Everybody's dealing with like kill or not kill. This show is doing it the worst. A lot of the other shows, and we'll talk about some of them in the future of this segment, they're making interesting decisions. This is just right. Stupid decisions.
It's just stupid and will continue to be, and we have a couple more weeks of stupid decisions, and hopefully a whole new crew comes in.
Yeah, I'm ready for the show to get got.
Number 4 episode, Dashing Our Dreams, Ryan. Fear the Walking Dead.
Well, it's Dashing Our Dreams of Fear the Walking Dead being number 1,
yes.
But way higher than it's ever been, so...
Way high. Good job, Fear the Walking Dead.
Those are dreams I had. Make this show good.
Shocking. So many people, including some of us in this room, the number 3 show of the week is Gotham.
On this week's Gotham, Hugo Strange gives birth to Gotham City's new villain, Azrael, by brainwashing a newly revived Theo Gallivan and making him think he is a medieval knight. The brainwashing works so well that Dr. Strange, is it? Decides it's time to create the rest of the future scum and villainy that will one day fill Gotham's wretched hive. So basically, he has this Theo Gallivan, who's just a puppet of his, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm going to give you a story. Here's a story. Here's a backstory. And now you're Azrael. And then as he's walking through the halls, he's like, they all just need stories. And then he takes Alice in Wonderland, and he's like, oh, I'm going to give this person the story of the Mad Hatter, which means that he can basically go and create all of the rest of the villains.
That's kind of dope.
It was pretty sweet. And I guess, like, my question was, do you think that's a cheat for the rest of the series run? Or do you think that's sort of an interesting way to handle everybody else?
I think it's...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but why would a villain just sit there and be like, I want to steal some money. I'll be the Mad Hatter.
Right. I think it is a cheat, but it also is in this day and age of modern superheroes, instead of being like Star-Lord, isn't that dumb, but I'm still Star-Lord.
Right.
Like they all are just, if it's one guy and he's a huge geek, totally fucking awesome. And everybody else is just like, I don't know. I've been doing this because I was brainwashed, but I'm going to keep doing this. That's why I'm the Clock King. I can't wait till we see the Clock King.
Your options are, Star-Lord, and then roll your eyes when you say it because it was created in the 60s and it's not cool anymore. Or, today's Falcon, which is we can't have him be in control of a Falcon, so we'll just make it tech.
Right.
But this way sort of solves all the problems.
I do like that idea a lot. And it also, this show is for the first season was like, well, we're going to be the origins. Nobody's ever going to turn into what they are yet, except for the Penguin. And then this season's been like, yeah, but that's boring. Fuck that. Let's hijack. I want to see a 14-year-old Batman next season. I hope we just start early. And they're like, wait, you're right. A Batman-less Gotham is dumb way we're doing it.
We, again, no spoilers, but we have just learned this weekend that maybe 14-year-old superheroes could be kind of cool and fun.
There's nothing better than a child soldier.
How Asriel worked in this episode was it so insane and stupid, but in an actually pretty sweet way. And if we were going to talk about spend any more time on Gotham than we're allowed to in this segment, mm-hmm. we could talk about how does backstory create the character?
Right.
And are we seeing them comment on the fact that heroes create their own backstory? Villains have it created for them. It's very easy for Batman to become a villain because his backstory was created for him. His parents were murdered.
Mm-hmm. It's not a choice. It's hoisted upon you.
Right. But he had to do all the work because he's a hero and turn that around and become a hero. Whereas backstories is all just, or for villains, it's all just handed to them. And then they go on and be simple idiot villains.
Right.
It was a cool episode.
That's the issue with Gotham. I do think they have 40 writers. And so you're going to get some cool storylines sometimes because the good writer who's hired in that team is like, can I get one?
All you have to hope for is that the bathwater spills out of the bathtub a little bit onto the bad scripts.
Right.
And it continues a little bit.
Hopefully that'll continue. That sounds pretty cool. Number two show of the week, Ryan, is Arrow.
On this week's episode of Arrow, Diggle takes center stage as he and his brother kick the shit out of each other all over town. This all leads to a final showdown in which Andy just screams reasons at Diggle to kill him, which Diggle finally does. Meanwhile, Arrow discovers he mopes a lot and loves Felicity, while Thea gets sent to Wayward Pines.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I shouldn't be shocked that also you thought that. Sorry, continue.
Mike, does the lack of flashbacks for the last couple of episodes make things feel smoother, or does it take some of the gravity away?
Smoother.
Yeah, it's a stupid question, right?
That's a bad question. But let's talk about this. I do think I'm glad that Diggle didn't follow everybody's advice to stop beating himself up because it's his fucking fault that Laurel died.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, it is his fault.
And even Andy is like, it's your fault, you dingus.
But the Arrow is what I was referencing earlier about killing people.
Right.
If you're going to stand there and just consistently threaten my 2-year-old or 1-year-old child, I got to bring you down, dude.
I was infuriated that they didn't kill Dark's wife last week. There's literally no reason to not. There was no cameras in that part of the city. Let Diggle shoot one of the biggest villains in the face and then move on.
I know that the two shows have nothing in common, or they're not commenting on each other. But to watch Punisher scream about how happy he was that he murdered everyone.
We didn't talk about that at all.
Watch Diggle say, I have no choice here, makes both characters inherently interesting because they're making different choices for different reasons.
And I don't buy either of them. Neither of those characters were telling the complete truth right there.
You think that we're supposed to believe that they're extreme opposites, but they're actually way closer than we think?
I think Frank got talked to and was like, you can keep doing what you do if you say this right now. He got, and I think Diggle doesn't want to know the bloodlust that's in him, so he's saying he had no choice when he could have just smashed Andy in the head and handcuffed him right there.
And finally, we get a character. In all of these shows, we need one character, and it's, Diggle's wife?
Lila.
To just look him in the face as he's borderline ollie moping, saying, yes, kill him.
Yeah.
Of course you should have. Of course.
The leader of the spy agency that kills everybody, even heroes, for their own good?
Yes.
And he's a soldier. The whole time he's been like, I've been to war, motherfuckers. I want to kill people right now. He should be.
That was super interesting, too. One of the reasons that Andy was giving Diggle to kill Andy was like, you did it with all these other people. Yeah. Why not me? Why not me? Why not me? All right, you're right.
And then looks surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that thing. Number one show of the week, Ryan, is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
On this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the last before Civil War comes out, S.H.I.E.L.D. moves in on the newly anointed Hive Town in order to rescue Daisy. Daisy doesn't want to go, as she tells Mac while punching and kicking him. The group is forced to fly away, leaving Daisy to be brainwashed. Or not? How much of Daisy is Hive actually controlling at this point?
Most of it.
Think so?
Yeah.
You don't think that some of her... She seems to be a little still early season one punk rock. Actually, I know what's best here.
It was interesting. Seeing the controlled Inhumans this episode was interesting because they all had way more of their personality than we've seen in the last couple episodes. And so I do think Hive also has to concentrate, like, how much in control am I going to be? At all times, they have a baseline adoration for him, and but his will on theirs can increase or decrease. That's what it seems like.
Hive is clearly the bad guy. S.H.I.E.L.D. is very clearly the good guy. Mm-hmm. Look at the title of the show. Is it called Agents of Hive, Mike?
Not yet.
Agents of H-I-V-E. And what would Hive stand for?
Heroes in Vitro Endocrine System.
So this is like fetuses kicking ass.
I want that show.
Do you think that the show is doing a good job, even though that we know that Hive is very clearly wrong, making it seem like they both think that they're right and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s a little more Hive-y than they'd like to admit?
Is that a good show? Is that what you're asking? Was the actual question?
Do you think that they're doing a good job of presenting two philosophies?
Unfortunately, we've seen a season of Hive being horrible.
Right.
And so to introduce this one of him being like, I want to help the world, I wish that was around all season, because that is interesting. Then it is philosophical differences. We all want the same thing, but we have very different tactics. And it's his complete control and fascism versus free choice, but sort of fascism, because you can't be a government dark ops agency and not sort of believe in fascism.
That's the thing, is that how fascist are you willing to be in order to make the world a better place?
Right.
And I think that Damian Dark wants the same thing Hive does, mm-hmm. but is like very, very villainous about it.
Right.
I think that and as much as I like this episode, this was the funniest non-Bobby and Hunter episode. Maybe this is the funniest possible episode without Bobby and Hunter, but I think that they swung and missed a little bit at making Hive seem more righteous.
It was
just a little
too late. You can't
have... Because they were too villainous earlier.
You can't have 18 episodes building him up a certain way and then be like, nah, he wants good for the world. Like, even though the Kree are obviously super evil, which is interesting just because in the comics they're not that bad, right? They're not the Borg. They're not just a purely evil race.
Right.
But here, they seem to be. There's no good Kree yet. We've seen Ronan the Accuser in the movies, and then we've seen just big, dumb grunt guys.
It also allowed us to see what a movie budget Kree looks like and a TV budget Kree looks like.
Still blue paint, but his has some cool black swatches and a hood.
How excited are you for the Walking Dead, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover bad guy Kreegan, a blue guy with a baseball bat?
I can't wait to get blue balls from it.
That's what happens when you get hit with that bat?
Yeah.
9 times?
And especially if you don't see where I got hit by that bat.
Well, I'm going to assume it's in the balls.
It's all in the balls, and his heels are straight through my chest, and I love it the whole time. Ryan?
Yes.
What was our whole show brought to you by?
Our whole show was brought to you by monobluff.com. Please go there for all of your Magic the Gathering deck building needs. MANABLUFF.com.
After that, head over to yourpopfilter.com, where you can get everything we put out, including this, yourpopfilter.com.
Also, make sure that you're subscribing and downloading this show from iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review. While you're there, check out the literal show that literally exists, Nutflex.
Oh!
We have a zero episode up that shows you everything about Nutflex. And then we also have reviewed our first movie. It's a little movie on Netflix called Dope. That's NUTFLEX. Subscribe, rate, and review, please.
Let us know what you think about both of our shows on social media. Follow us at Twitter at YourPopFilter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/YourPopFilter. You talk to us, we'll talk to you, and you can find all kinds of little bit of news, slews, and reviews, the things you loves from us.
If you like buying things, but you hate the fact that rich people get your money, I've got a little solution. Make sure that you go to yourpopfilter.com/Amazon, make that your new Amazon link, and everything you purchase on Amazon, get from that link. It will cost you $0 more, but we will get some of Amazon's dollars. So they get less rich, we get more rich, and we will bring that richness back to you through
audio,
better sounding microphones, and panelists.
It's like you're Robin Hood.
We're saving up money to replace Mike with Chris Hardwick, so please spend all the money on Amazon you can.
Just a few more short dollars, and then we'll get them. I can't wait. I would love that show.
That would be awesome.
If you want to really get in touch with us, because we barely read our tweets, you should email us, contact@yourpopfilter.com, and everything you write to us, we will read on this very show. Or give us a little ring-a-ding-ding to our robot associate, 1562 DRDJPOP. That's 1562 Dr. DJ Pop. He is a medical doctor. He is a nighttime DJ. He plays all the tunes on his gurneys. 1562 Dr. DJ Pop, he'll put your words on this show. Next week, we will be talking. Ryan, what are we going to talk about next week? Tell them what they've won.
We are going to finally, at length, discuss this season of Arrow. And you hate it. I love it.
It does seem like that in the little 2-minute bits, 2 to 13-minute bits we've had to talk about.
So let's get fucking into it, dude.
Next week is Arrow. And for Mike, I'm Ryan. For Ryan, I'm Mike. Enough said.